If you would, please take out with me your outlines for today's message. And normally I tell you where to turn to in the Bible as far as the scripture. However, we're going to do something a little bit different today, okay? You get to take and choose whatever scripture you want to turn to in your Bible, or if you're on your phone, or whatever, but you got 5 seconds to go ahead and do that now. Pick out a scripture and turn to it. Now, there's a story about a guy who was trying to figure out one day what the Lord wanted him to do. So he decided that he was just going to open up to the Bible and point to a scripture, and he was going to take that, meaning what, that's what God wanted him to do that day. So he opened up the Bible, closed his eyes, point down, and he came to the verse that said, "And Judas went out and hung himself." So he said, "Well, that can't be." So he took and opened up the Bible, closed it, closed his eyes, opened it up, and pointed down, looked at it, and said, "And whatever you do, do it quickly." Now, obviously, you know, sometimes we do that. Not necessarily in that, like that. But we say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to read today?" And sometimes it may be just, "Okay, I'm just going to turn it to a psalm and see what comes up." So we've been talking about inspiration, revelation of God's Word, since we started on our yearly journey of looking at the doctrines of the Bible, Christian doctrines. And we've been talking about the revelation of Scripture. And we've talked a little bit about the inspiration, but today we're really going to get into what it really means about the inspiration, how we got God's Word. And that's why today's message is actually titled, "God, You're the Inspiration." Okay, or "God, You Are." God, You're the Inspiration. Not that He just gives the inspiration, but that He is inspiration. I recently heard a story about some people that were waiting to get on a plane. They're there at the airport, and they're told that they can't get on yet because the pilot and co-pilot haven't showed up. Pretty soon, the pilot shows up, but there's a little bit of a disturbing situation here. He's got, you know, like dark sunglasses on, and he's got the little blind man walking stick. Okay, so they make the announcement, say, "Hey, the pilot's here. Hang on, though." They said, "I know, yes, he is blind, but he's flown thousands of flights, so he's never had a problem." So, okay, so they start getting the people on board as well. Pretty soon they make the announcement, so they're still waiting for the co-pilot to show up. So sure enough, here comes the co-pilot, and guess what? He's got the sunglasses on and the blind walking stick. And they make the announcement again, said, "We know it, yes, he is blind. But again, he's had thousands of hours of flights and thousands of flights, never had a problem. Everything's fine." They say, okay, kind of relaxes them a little bit. So they're given permission to go ahead and take off. They taxi out there, and pretty soon the engines start to rev up. Everybody that's flown knows what I'm talking about, revving up and everything. And pretty soon they take off down the runway. They're picking up speed, and the plane is not lifting off yet. Pretty soon they're going full blast right down the runway. There's only 100 yards left. And the people now start to panic. And everybody starts to scream at once. Pretty soon the plane lifts up, takes off, and no problem. The pilot then looks at the co-pilot. He says, "You know, if one of these days, if those people don't scream, we're going to be in big trouble." Now in that situation, although it's a funny situation, obviously not true, we see what the inspiration of the people was to begin screaming. The fact that the plane was about ready to crash right there on the runway. Today, we're coming to a vital part of our consideration of the scriptures, and especially remembering how they are the foundation that our faith is built on. And how the foundation of the scriptures comes from God inspiration. And that's what we're talking about today, is because, as I said, we continue on with our look at the doctrines of the Bible. You know, more and more people today are doubting the inspiration of Scripture. And they're choosing to look at it as being no more than just the Bible's looking at the Bible as being no more inspirational than the book Moby Dick. If something inspired that person to write that book, and that's the way they're looking at the Bible. In so many, even in churches, They fail to recognize the divine testimony, how every part of the Bible is inspired by God Himself. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we praise you again today for that you've given to us. We thank you for the sunshine. Melvin earlier asked for praises. I got to admit, I praise you for the cold, for the snow. I had a blast out in it. But we are thankful that you brought us here today in warmth, not just because the heat is on, but because we have the warmth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with us today through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to worship together, being here together, and to know again that you are right here with us. We pray that everything that we hear today would be according to your will. May you guide the words of my mouth. May you guide our thoughts and open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this together. Amen. Would somebody like to share real quick, what verse did they turn to? Vince. I said real quick.
2 Corinthians 5:7.
Okay, did you turn there on purpose or you just kind of turned there? Okay, cool. All right. The meaning of inspiration. The meaning of inspiration. Now, I know there's a lot of people that, you know, well, everybody get a brown paper bag? Okay, if you didn't get one, raise your hand. Gerald has one for you. I know you're asking questions about what it's for. I'm not going to tell you yet. Okay? But we have to first stress off or understand what we mean by using that word, inspiration. And we're not talking necessarily about how something or somebody might inspire you. Like Steve, you might inspire me to go work on a car if I knew how to work on a car. You might inspire me to learn from you how to work on a car. Okay? I used to work on cars, but not very well. Like those people on that plane who were inspired to scream, what inspired, or how was God's word inspired? And we have to understand what we're actually meaning, or the definition of what we mean by inspired to begin with. The particular word for inspired in Hebrew translates into God breathed. God breathed. That is that God the Father himself, through God the Holy Spirit, told or directed the writers of the Bible exactly what he wanted them to put down. He told them exactly what he wanted them to put down, what words he wanted them to. It wasn't just like, okay, you tell this story, you tell that story. This particular word in the Greek is actually found twice in the Bible itself. In Job 32:8, first I'm going to read the King James Version. There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now in the New King James, it puts it this way. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The New King James says it, all scripture is given by the breath of God. Let's look particularly for a moment at that word reproof there in 2 Timothy. It's associated with correction or rebuke, as well as guidance. That is why it's so important to understand and believe that the entire Word of God, the entire Bible, came directly from Him. So that knowing this, we can look to it for guidance, for correction. we can look to that and answer the big questions that people will ask us from time to time. Why do we believe the Bible? Because it's directly from God. Why do we believe in the Ten Commandments? Who gave the Ten Commandments? Did Moses give the Ten Commandments? Well, he gave it to the people. He kind of relayed it, if you want to put it that way. Who gave Moses the Ten Commandments? Directly from God. Why do we believe in God being all-knowing? Because that's exactly what God himself has revealed in Scripture. In Genesis 2:7, we read how God breathed life into man. Remember that verse? Everybody shake their heads. Yes, thank you. Now, here we go. Those little brown paper sacks. Go ahead and open them up. And you remember when you used to do this, and don't you do it. When you used to take a blow into it and pop it, and you can't do that yet, okay? Everybody take and go ahead and breathe into that bag and then hold it. Not over and over, Melvin. You're going to give yourself a brain ache. Now hold it. Hold that breath right in there. You just breathed yourself into that bag. That breath is a part of you. That's why God, when he breathed into Adam, he gave Adam a part of him. He gave him life. And we you know, he gave him life, but he gave Adam a part of him. Now, you weren't supposed to put your bags down yet. I didn't say to do that yet. Okay? And by the way, if you had something spicy last night for supper, I'm sorry. But when God breathed into the Scriptures, that's exactly what he breathed himself into the Scriptures. That's what we're talking about by inspiration. Okay, you can put them down now. God breathed out of himself to bring life, truth, to be used for correct doctrine, correction, guidance, and righteousness into those words of Scripture. Okay, I want to see that again. God breathed out of himself to bring life and truth, to be used for correct doctrine, correction, guidance, and righteousness into those words of Scripture. He breathed life into our Bible. He breathed life into those words. So when we're talking about inspiration, it's not just saying, well, I inspire you to go do this. It was him, part of himself put into those words, put into those writers. So the question is, okay, once we understand that what we mean by inspiration, that's not just saying, well, I was inspired to do this, but meaning that it was part of God himself into Scriptures to bring it life, to give us correction and direction in our life. What is the extent of inspiration? In other words, is the whole Bible inspired? Is every single part of it inspired by God? And as we've been pointing out, the fact that the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is inspired and to be received as the direct word of God, but unfortunately, it's doubted by many people. And as I said earlier, even people within the church, many pastors and professors in seminary are now teaching that it may contain words from God, but it's not totally to be recognized as from God. There's a story about a man who listened to a certain preacher who had that thought that there was words from God in the Bible, but it wasn't necessarily all from God himself. And so he would say, when he was up there preaching different times and different Sunday school lessons, he would say that this part he didn't really believe was directly from God, that was somebody's idea, and blah, blah, blah. And so what this man started doing was, for a period of several years, he started taking out of his own Bible the sections that this pastor said that, well, he didn't believe that was necessarily directly from God. That might have just been somebody's ideas and everything. One day he walked up to the pastor, handed him the Bible. It had a cover and a back, nothing in between. And the pastor goes, what's this? He said, this is what you truly believe. Nothing. When you don't believe all of Scripture. Because you start taking out one part with that belief, you have to take apart the whole thing. Because the whole thing is given directly from God. Now, if you look up on the screen, to kind of go with my point, there's going to be a picture up there. Go ahead. Now, that is not the Northern Lights. Anybody have an idea what that might be? Vince? My lesson's over for the day. I told him to say, no, I didn't really. No, nearly 64,000 times you'll find verses somehow related to another verse. Even if it's just one verse to another one, but in God's word, they're all connected. Nearly 64,000 times when you read God's word and truly study it, you can refer to other verses to help you understand that verse, to understand the direction that it's given you. For example, let's start off with 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And that says, if you were paying attention on Facebook this week, we had a scripture like this. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So let's look at Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Okay? You could say that, don't do evil for evil. Wait for the Lord, and I will save you. Now, not only does this verse talk about not repaying evil with evil, but tells us what we need to do so, or what we need to do when we are tempted to do that. What is it? Wait on the Lord to save us from repaying evil with evil. So then we could go to Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will do what? He will strengthen you, or strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So instead of reacting to a certain situation, maybe we just simply need to wait on the Lord to strengthen our heart so that we don't repay evil with evil. As Vince said, 40 different authors over a time span of 1,500 years gave us the Word of God with 63,779 ways to reference one verse to another to help us have a deep relationship with God. That cannot happen without Scripture being God-breathed, inspired. It cannot happen any other way. When you got 40 different, to do it even with a regular book a few times is one thing. But when you take the whole Bible, being able to do that, that cannot happen just by accident. When you got 40 different authors, it can't happen by accident just to begin with. But it proves that the entire Word of God is God-breathed. It's inspired. It has come directly from Him. So what about the finality of Revelation? Now, we've been combining the two for the last few weeks, and next week, be ready, because now next week we're getting into the doctrine of God Himself. Whew. Okay, that's not going to be a one Sunday sermon, I'm going to tell you that. But what about the finality of Revelation? Okay? The Bible is God's final revelation to man. Such a mode of divine revelation ceased with the book of Revelation. God has given us no new or further revelation since John penned the last parts of Revelation and of the Scriptures. His complete will for us and for the ages are unfolded and shown within His Scripture. I say that so that if you hear someone say that they have received a new revelation from God, you can be sure that person either, one, gravely mistaken, or most likely an imposter. If they're saying, I have a new revelation. We shouldn't even be expecting or waiting for a new revelation. Everything we need to have that relationship with God is already in God's Word. It's already there. We're not looking for someone new. We're not looking for some new star to arise in the east. We are waiting on the return of Christ our Lord and Savior. All that a guilty sinner can ever need, all that an aspiring saint, a person who's come to Christ, can ever anticipate are hidden away in God's divine library. Everything we need to bring a sinner to Christ, everything that we need as believers to help us grow, is right there in the Bible. Now, sometimes, yeah, I know it's a little hard to see. Sometimes we need a little help, we need a little instruction. I get that. Sometimes it's not always black and white to us or jumping right out at us. But there is coming a day when it will be. And I truly believe that when we truly take time to study it, we'll understand more and more every day. Now, I am not saying that God doesn't still move. That's not what I'm saying. I am not saying that God doesn't still speak to us and direct us. But what he says or in the ways he moves can never be contrary or some new revelation contrary to the Scripture. It can't happen. Everything we need is already there for us. We've already been told that what's going to happen in the future. Christ is going to return. Do we need to know? We don't need to know. We just got to simply be prepared. If we had to know when Christ was going to be returning, it would be in there. We don't need to know when it's going to happen. Everything we need is already there in Scripture. There's a church back in the town where I grew up, where I went to high school. It's a relatively new church, under 20 years old. The church formed when several people of the church left another church, when that church decided to hold true to Scriptures, especially about same-sex marriage, and the calling of an open homosexual pastor. So a bunch of people left, formed their new church. They called that pastor, you know, and everything to come there. They came up with a new slogan and said, God is still speaking. And in their messages, they would tell people this, God is still speaking, and now he was saying that homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and everything was all okay now. That's what their message was. That's what their church was founded on. Just that one little, well, not bit little, but that one situation. You know what? God is still speaking. He is still calling sin, sin. He is still calling believers to love unbelievers. He is still telling us not to let anger rule in our heart or return evil by doing evil. He's still telling us on how we can be saved. And it's all right here in this book. It's all right here. God is still three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three God at the same time. He's not what many are preaching today, modalistic, meaning God is God the Father at one point, then the next point he's God the Son, then the next point he's God the Holy Spirit, such as speakers such as Joyce Meyer and Stephen Furtick preach. Who also preaches that we are all little gods like the Mormons do. Everything we know to really find truth is right here if we would just take time to realize that and open it up and actually take time to learn it. And this is why I chose to start our focus this year of looking at doctrines with the Bible, of the doctrine of revelation and inspiration through which we have received this revelation. God didn't just give inspiration to write his word. He breathed the inspiration because he is the inspiration of Scripture. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says this, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone else takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now some will say that pertains only to Revelation. Remember those cross references? Deuteronomy 4:2. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." On your own, I want you to look up Deuteronomy 12:32, Proverbs 36, and others. Take time to look those things up. Study on your own the things that we've been talking about. We have not just a motivated Word of God. We have the inspired Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you and praise you for your Word, your inspired Word, your God-breathed Word. We thank you for the 40 authors, that time span of 1,500 years to give us your perfection in your Word. Again, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for the revelation, and not just the book of Revelation, but the book itself is revealing to us who you are. Revealing to us that we are all sinners. And revealing to us that we all have that opportunity for salvation because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And in his resurrection, giving us our living Lord, our living Savior. Lord, as we continue on in this journey for this coming year of looking at the doctrine, we ask you to continually help us to remember that this is our foundation of understanding that everything we're going to be talking about comes from your word, your inspired word, that is 100% truth. We pray this together. Amen. So they have expressed their desire to go ahead and reunite with us as members of Locust Grove Church. So I'm going to ask if somebody would please make a motion to accept them. Second it. Thank you. Oh, everybody? Yes, thank you. All right. Thank you for everything that you're going to bring us. The laughter you've already given to us and the desire to join your church family. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Charlene and Bill. We just thank you again for your love, so much that you radiate through them to others. And we thank you again for being their Lord and Savior. And just the fact that how they're uniting with us as members. Lord, again, I just pray that you would just touch them, touch us, but most of all, that you would be blessed through their ministry here at Locust Grove and beyond. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Welcome. Thank you.